In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is another version of a sermon, and I title it Humbled and Exalted. Like I said, it's about the fourth version of this parable that I've written, and I think it's probably the best one yet. So hopefully you'll receive a wonderful message today. Today's gospel, we witness two men at a crossroads. Their crossroads is no different than the same crossroads we face today. Jesus tells us that unto certain people who trust in themselves that they are righteous and yet they readily despise others. These men, one a Pharisee and the other a publican, draw in stark contrast an otherwise uneventful situation. In this parable, Jesus is shedding light on a real and constant problem in men's lives and in our own very nature. It is what the Apostle Paul calls the spirit which wars with the flesh. It is both our good nature and our bad nature. We all have them because we are born with them. We can't escape from that. When I read the passage for the first time, I thought the word publican was a misprint, and I used this before. I believe the re was missing. I truly thought there was a misprint. I'm not joking. I'm not making this up. I said, oh my gosh, there's a mistake here in the written word, holy word of God. How can they leave out Republican? They did. But if this were true, then this passage would be used in our political arenas as Democrats would take the moral high ground, quoting the Pharisee chastising the Republican. In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, a publican is defined as one who in Britain manages a pub or a public house where alcohol is celebrated. In antiquity, publicans were Jewish tax collectors for the ancient Romans. They were public administrators or contractors who often supplied the Roman legion and military, as well as managed the collections of port duties and oversaw public works projects. In addition, they served the Republic or Roman Empire by bidding on contracts for the collection of various types of duties. Importantly, their role of tax collector did not take place until later in the term of the Republic, and publicans were usually in the class of equestrians or horsemen like the Roman cavalry. I suppose this part meant a lot to me as they traveled far distances to collect available means of taxes. They sound a lot like my Hayes ancestors who were called border reavers. They were on the border of Scotland and England along the Scottish and English border. The Hayes clan made their living as blacksmiths and made helmets, breastplates, swords, and shields. You know, God talks about that, the full armor of God. They shod horses, were excellent horsemen, and often took up arms in the role of cavalry in support of the earl or baron. In a sense, they were the original mercenaries. A bit of equestrian family history helps me to relate to this publican and makes it resonate with me. But not as a tax collector. It doesn't resonate. In contrast, the Pharisee was at various times a political party, a social movement, or a school of thought among the Jews during the Second Temple period under the Hasmonean dynasty. That was their name, Hasmonean. In the wake of the Maccabean revolt. This was the last time that the Jewish nation lived in freedom until the United Nations gave Israel its state in 1948. So in the course of Jewish history, they've always been enslaved by one tyrant or another, except for that brief period, I think, that lasted about, a little over 100 years until 1948. So they've had another 70, 80 years now. In addition to the Pharisee was the Sadducee and the Essene, representing separate schools of thought, somewhat like the Catholics, Anglicans, and Protestants are today. Each of these Jewish religious classes bade to uphold the law. The Sadducees were mostly the priestly and aristocratic class and held to a strict letter of the Mosaic law. The Pharisees held to the strict letter of the law but added the interpretations of the rabbis. And the Essenes were the monastic order of religious thought. So now that we know the backgrounds of a Pharisee and the publican, what was their message? Both were acting righteously because the scripture says that they both despised others and despised each other. In their minds they may have been right, but were they righteous? These two men went up to the temple to pray, being good Jews that they were. The Pharisee stood on and thus prayed by himself to God and said, I thank thee, Lord, that I am not like other men who are extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He clearly felt he had no reason for God, that he lived a good life, and that he prayed to God because that is what a good Pharisee did, and his good deeds would gain him admission into the hereafter or heaven. The Pharisee was comparing himself to other men and abiding by the letter of the law. He was right by his tradition and behavior, but he was wrong to think he was righteous. Grace is not attained by the letter of the law. Grace cannot be achieved by putting others down. And grace cannot be bought or sold, for it is a gift from God. The Pharisee was seeking God's grace by works, not by a humble and contrite heart. He was conceited and pompous. His attitude is not what God is looking for us as Christians. We are to have hearts that are innocent as children. We are to be humble and repentant and not behave like the Pharisee, who was boastful and full of pride. He prayed out loud so everyone could hear him, and he was at the center of attention. In another parable of Scripture, Christ would compare this Pharisee to a hypocrite. Now let us compare this Pharisee to the publican. Think of them as the Old Testament versus the New Testament, or the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. In St. John 1 we read, For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The Pharisee represented the law, while the publican represented grace and truth. The publican also despised others, but there was a glaring distinction. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Did we not hear these same words a few Sundays ago when we heard the lesson of being fishers of men? Are these not the same words Simon Peter said to Jesus when he said, Depart from me, for I am a sinner, O Lord? Here we have a man who has a humble and contrite heart. He knows he is a sinner and bears the burden of his own sin, and his shame keeps him at a distance from God. This publican shows us the kind of attitude God wants in us. He took ownership of his transgressions. He was repentant and asked for a genuine forgiveness and mercy. He stood afar off, not to be publicly seen for his actions to draw attention to himself like the Pharisee. So Jesus tells us in this parable, This man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, what that means, lowered in rank, prestige, or esteem, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. This striking contrast in this parable shows us that the Pharisee thought he was good enough for God's mercy, while the publican believed he was not worthy of God's mercy. The Pharisee, the keeper of the religious law, believed he was justified, and the publican believed that he was unjustified. A justified man acknowledges his sins and unworthiness and cries to God for mercy, while an unjustified man is full of pride and believes he has no sin. Yet he is blameless in his own eyes. Again in St. John 1 we read, And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So how do we relate to this verse? Do we relate to this verse as a Pharisee or as a publican? Are we boastful and proud, or are we humble and contrite? Are we sinners who know that God's grace is a gift, or are we those who take God's grace for granted? Even in these tough economic times, do we help the poor and destitute? Do we kick the man when he is down on his fortunes to make us mightier than he? Or do we give him a helping hand in the spirit of Christian love and kindness? The choice is ours to make, and make it we will. We cannot live life on the sidelines. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.